Here we go.
Hey, JNU listeners, welcome back to Black Talk, or welcome if this is your first time tuning in. My name is Michelle Simpson, and I have the pleasure of hosting this program that is a co-creation of the Boulder County NAACP and KGNU. Black Talk centers Black voices, Black thought, as well as Black vision. And today we're devoting a program to a discussion of Black women's maternal health. So stated another way, what we're going to be discussing is the lack of birth justice for Black women. So Cynthia, we are so fortunate that you said yes when I asked you if you'd be willing to come on Black Talk to discuss this topic, because you are the resident expert. And in doing so, I'd like to introduce you to KGNU listeners. So this is Dr. Cynthia Hazel, who's going to be our guest today. And as I said, definitely the resident expert on this particular topic. So Dr. Cynthia, let me kind of give some background and jump in if I get anything incorrect. Some time ago, as I understand it, you were the country manager for the mobile technology for community health evaluation. It was a study that was done in Ghana, in your home country of Ghana. And I believe your work then focused on pregnant and nursing mothers. You were also a part of a European Commission-funded global consortium that researched maternal and child health inequalities in approximately 10 or 11 countries on three continents. And when you were a doctoral student at the Colorado School of Public Health, you were interested in health actions or health effects that would reduce maternal and child health inequities in the developing world, okay? And last thing that I think I know is that you are currently a member of the staff of the Omni Institute. And I don't know a lot about Omni, so you can share a bit, but the little I do know is that Omni employs individuals with pretty diverse backgrounds in the social sciences, who have experience in kind of community building or community capacity building and working in diverse communities. Is that sort of what Omni's about?
Yes, that's too, but that is not our priority focus alone. So Omni is a social science consultancy, and we provide evaluation services, needs assessment, capacity building, and also public health research. And our focus area spans across like public and behavioral health, human development, justice reform, and also learning and development.
Oh, and I missed a portion of that. Okay.
Yeah, so I am a research manager with a public and behavioral health vision at Omni.
And, you know, the other piece I absolutely know, because I got the Omni piece. I got a small piece, a nugget of that. So thank you for filling in. But I know in your vast spare time, you also organize pop-up clinics and getting underserved communities vaccinated against the coronavirus, because I've been a beneficiary of that. So thank you. And that, as I said, is something I absolutely know for certain. You know, it was my stepdaughter, Camille, who is working on her PhD in international nutrition currently, and who received her master's in public health some time ago, who really brought this issue of Black women's maternal health and inequities within that sphere to my attention. I know from previous conversations with you, Sin, and I just mentioned this at the top of the program, that Black maternal health is your passion. How did you arrive at that? How did you arrive at this place where Black maternal health, Black child health, really became, or caught fire for you, or really became that passion?
All right, thank you, Michelle. Well, first and foremost, I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to share my experience and feel very honored to be invited to Black Talk. Black maternal health is definitely my passion. And I would say that it's been a journey, but I think what really sparked the interest started in Ghana. So after my graduate study in the UK, I returned to Ghana and was employed to work on a mobile health experiment, which was at the time one of the largest mobile health experiments in West Africa. And so, like you rightfully mentioned, I was the country manager, but the piece that I didn't know going into the job was that a lot of the health inequality study we'll be doing will be in the rural areas. So just a little bit of more context. Ghana has very high maternal mortality rates, and the reasons that have contributed to these high maternal mortality rates are just hemorrhage and complications due to abortion, since it's still illegal in Ghana, and also some complications arising from birth at home. And so in rural areas, there are a lot of, the population is scattered usually around a large geographical area. So there is the added issue of transportation to health clinics or for health services. And so birth at home is a very common practice. And what we wanted to study was to what extent did that contribute to maternal mortality? And so this experiment was focused on creating direct communication lines between rural women and their healthcare workers, so they can communicate about complications around pregnancy and childbirth that they were experiencing. And so coming in, we came in as the independent evaluators to see the effectiveness of that program. But I think I had a totally different experience just interacting with the women on the ground, seeing how firsthand, how limited education, just lack of medical information, and how generally poverty, I would say, you know, created all of these health access gaps, and that really affected the birth outcomes that these women had. And so, for example, you would have a woman who just didn't know anything about preparation for birth and would go into labor or would prepare to have a traditional birth attendant come to their home. And all that was fine because they would tell you that that's how my grandmother was born, that's how my mother was born, that's how I was born. So I don't see the need to go to a health center. And all that is fine, but the problem does arise. And I say this because I don't want to send the message across as traditional birth attendants don't have a role to play. In the past, when we haven't had health centers in the rural areas, they have stood in place and have done a good job in trying to provide these services to the women. But the problem do come arise though, when there's a complication to birth and one, there's limited transportation for emergency services, or there's an obstetric complication that traditional birth attendants can attend to. So that is all to say is that I had a comprehensive understanding of why that was, and just became very passionate about how do we bring these problems, you know, to the fore? How do we get more attention that people do not have with worst birth outcomes because of like a singular reason? There is a socioeconomic aspect to this problem. There is the discrimination aspect to this problem when you take it beyond Ghana to the broader global health, and just also looking at the United States. There is the social support aspect to this problem, which is maternal mortality. So that's just the background from where my passion started. And moving to the United States, I've had two children in this medical system. And so my understanding has also shifted from a global perspective more onto the United States perspective, where you have other dimensions that affect the outcome of birth. And that is the systemic discrimination and the systemic racism that is infused into our medical system. And so examples around preparation for birth, even during the prenatal encounters with medical professionals, how you are listening to how your own knowledge of your own body are factored into care recommendations while you're preparing to have your child. And also just other systemic issues around language barrier when you go outside of Black women to other maybe immigrant communities or like Hispanic communities who have the added barrier of language and understanding of what the care recommendations is required of them. And so I have been studying more and more ways in which those inequality gaps or inequity gaps can be bridged. And part of that has been to one, do research to better understand how from the experiences of these women who are at higher risk for maternal mortality and just severe maternal morbidity simply because of the systemic inequalities that exist in our society.
You know, well, Cynthia, you know, it's been interesting. As I mentioned, it was Camille, my stepdaughter, who brought this to my attention, brought this whole issue to my attention. But I recognize that this is not a recent manifestation, okay? That this has been with us for a very, very long time, these inequities. I've begun, though, to see a few more conversations about the evident disparities between, say, Black women's and white women's maternal health outcomes. I was made aware of the fact that April 11th through the 17th is considered Black Women's Maternal Health Week or what have you. And there's kind of the national focus and then there's the global focus. It seems to me though that anyone who's been paying even a scintilla of attention knows that Black mothers in the United States die at 3 to 4 times the rate of white mothers. Mm-hmm. And we know that this is one of the widest disparities in women's health. So where is it? And when I say, where is it on the agenda? Where is it in terms of the public health sphere as part of the larger conversation? As I said, I'm starting to hear or see more about it, but I only see those in Black spaces. In other words, if I'm looking at a blog that is written by a Black woman or a magazine that's devoted to or focused on or directed towards the Black community, but I'm not seeing larger conversations about this. And when I mention it, everybody seems surprised. You know, everybody in the room seems relatively surprised. So where would you say things are? Do you feel that, again, there's kind of a heightened awareness or no? Or is that just my imagination?
Yeah, that's a great point you raised, Michelle. And yeah, thanks for highlighting that. And so the larger conversation around maternal mortality in the US, in my opinion, is not loud enough. I think there has been growing awareness for sure. And I would say that has also come on the backs of some celebrities, Black celebrities, who more recently had their own personal experiences and shared, you know, publicly about how either they almost died or their experiences weren't factored into, you know, like the care processes. And so people, you know, say, wait a minute, what's going on here? But this
you're talking about, I don't mean to interrupt you, Sin, but you're talking about like Serena Williams, for example.
Yes, Serena Williams. Yes.
And others too. Okay.
Right.
Come forward to say that their birth experiences were just horrific in all the ways that they were. Okay. Okay.
Right. Yes. Yes. Thanks for those examples. Yeah, exactly. So if not for Serena Williams and Beyonce, and I'm talking like more recently, sharing their experiences publicly, I think this conversation has very heightened awareness within our Black communities, but on the broader American society, I don't think that the conversation has advanced enough or is loud enough to attract that heightened public health attention to the issue. I would say though that awareness is growing because currently you have not only the maternal death that disproportionately affect Black women, you have it across the spectrum. So you talk about the issue of access to prenatal care, because what prenatal care does is that there's consistent monitoring of your care and you're able to catch any of these adverse or the risk for adverse events early on and intervene. So access in that area is problematic for Black women. And that also contributes to why we have the outcome that we have. Then you also have the added burden of infant mortality. So we're talking specifically about low birth weight or like preterm kids who have, Black women have a higher risk of having preterm kids or low birth weight children compared to white women. And so just generally, all of these are happening, and even more common than maternal mortality is a severe maternal morbidity like preeclampsia, which is more common and not talked about enough in our community. And so all of this come together is to say that we are experiencing those risks. And in my opinion, I don't think that it has attracted that, you know, heightened sense of urgency that it should, just given that it is disproportionately affecting Black women.
So folks, I just want to reintroduce the show. This is Black Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Simpson. And today we are centering our focus on Black women's maternal health. My featured guest is Cynthia Hazel. And Dr. Cynthia Hazel is an expert in this arena around Black women's maternal health. So Cynthia, sorry I had to interrupt you there. Again, we were looking at some of those disparities, et cetera. But, you know, I want to back up a little bit and ask you, how did we get here? In other words, you know, it seems clear to me as a Black woman as well that we're not valuing the lives of Black women equal to the lives of, for example, white women. I mean, the go-to rationale oftentimes for any Black health-related disparity is to simply blame Black folks.
Right.
So to say that Black people have an innate susceptibility to illness or what have you, or just, again, predisposed. And we've heard that time and again in terms of COVID. But how did we get here?
Yes, so we are here because of social determinants of health, mm-hmm. which is fueled by systemic discrimination and systemic racism, period. There's nobody that is born to be susceptible to a poor birth outcome simply because it is due to issues, social issues such as your economic status, the level of literacy that you have, the level of exposure to information, your access to medical services, access to medical information, access to resources that help you prepare for birth and also afterwards. And so when you have all of these different situations impacted by discrimination, when you don't have equal access, when you don't have equal opportunity for employment, you don't have equal opportunity for education, all of these come together to impact your health decision, how you perceive health, how you take care of yourself. Now, when it comes to the issue of maternal health specifically and maternal mortality, it is interesting to know that it's even regardless of your socioeconomic status or education level. As a matter of fact, for a Black woman who has a college education or higher, your chances of death, maternal death, is still 5 times higher than your white counterpart.
Regardless.
Okay. So that is to say that it goes beyond just one cause, like one info, whether it's just education. The fact that you're educated does not shield you from this problem, because it is systemic. If you're educated or not, you still go to the same hospital that everybody's going to. You still have interactions with the medical society. And so it is from that standpoint that we say that is what has brought us to this point, because if it was only about our individual development, our individual exposures, individual experiences of how to protect ourselves against all these risk factors, we are realizing that it hasn't been enough. And so all types of interventions focused on maternal health has to be for everyone, because there is absolutely no protective factors when it comes to maternal mortality.
Mm-hmm. How is this being taught, if it's being taught, in the halls of universities that offer degrees in public health. I have a number of students currently who are interested in becoming PAs, you know, physician's assistants, or going into the field of public health. Quite a few, as a matter of fact. How much time, in terms of the curriculum, how much time is devoted to this topic? Because it's huge, and it packs such a large swath of the community. So again, what time and attention is given in terms of training and education?
So specifically on maternal health inequity, I would say that it is not necessarily prioritized over other areas of public health, even though we are having an emergency situation. And so there is time dedicated to, you know, training public health students and just medical students on health equity. And so to how to think about more broadly systemic inequalities and how that affects or impacts people's health, especially people of color. Mm-hmm. And so that is there. But to your point, given that we have a worsening, we have worsening indicators for maternal mortality, you would think that there will be some priority to train maybe either the medical students specifically, because they have some of those interactions, or public health researchers to be able to tease out and bring out some of these issues and answer some of these research questions, bring it to the forefront so policymakers can pick up on that. In my opinion, I don't think that has been prioritized as an area. And more recently, the concept that is being, you know, shared amongst, I would say more amongst people of color who are involved in health equity work, is the concept of reproductive justice. Mm-hmm. And that is just basically to say that beyond all of these health risk factors that, you know, impact maternal health outcome, we need to be able to focus on those social factors as well. Why is a woman not having access to antenatal care in the first place? Is it because she has two jobs and is prioritizing that over her own health because she has to, versus is it because of where she lives, mm-hmm. And not having transportation to be able to access the care that she needs? And so all of these different social factors that are considered external but come together to impact health outcome, specifically maternal health outcome, has to be given some attention. And so I don't think on the broader level this conversation is being had, but I am in a couple of smaller public health societies where it's either more Black women or just people of color in general, and this conversation continues to happen.
Are there discussions being had regarding differential access, for example, to healthy food or clean drinking water, or safe neighborhoods, good schools, a living wage, reliable transportation? You know, you and I both know that Black women are more likely to be uninsured. Black women are more likely to start prenatal care later and to lose coverage during the postpartum period. I recently had a conversation on the show, as a matter of fact, where we focused time and attention, and I was sharing this with you, about Black mental wellness. And I was asking Dr. Eldridge Greer, an area therapist, about the about public health, the field of public health, taking the position that racism is a public health issue, which is something that most Black people have known since time immemorial, but nonetheless, it's now being made part of the larger conversation and is kind of one of the issues on the table. What are your thoughts when it comes to that?
Great questions. So to answer your first one, yes, we are having those types of conversations, and that all that come under the umbrella of reproductive justice, because insurance coverage, access to transportation, clean water, protections, even security, housing, all of that are, you know, factors that goes to impact health in general, and specifically maternal health, because without tackling those issues, maternal health doesn't happen in a silo. And so the solutions or the interventions designed to protect maternal health and protect Black women, either during pregnancy or the period leading after pregnancy, all has to be in cognizance of these other social factors that directly or indirectly impact health outcomes as well. And so to the point about public health being considered, I mean, racism being considered a public health issue, that is a conversation that I think needs to happen at a national level, because at the local level, there has been some discussions around how racism and discrimination impacts mental health, and how that also has some consequences for physical health. For example, when it comes to access to healthcare, it is a public health issue. When it comes to insurance coverage or losing insurance simply because you do not have a job that pays enough, or you are a transient worker because maybe you don't have the education to stay in a job that can provide you with insurance coverage, all that impacts your access, your understanding of the medical system, your access to medical information, and ultimately your decision making, your health decision making. And so, yes, my opinion is that racism definitely has to be presented as a public health emergency, even if you ask me.
Dr. Cynthia Hazel, it has been my pleasure to have you on Black Talk. And those of you who are veterans of Black Talk know what to do. You know, to just continue to tune in, because we're going to continue the conversation, and we will post that bonus content on the KGNU site. And I'd like to thank you so much for raising our awareness about this. And you called it a crisis, and it is this health crisis in our community. And when I say our community, I mean each and every one of us, because this impacts all of us. But once again, Dr. Cynthia, thank you for coming on Black Talk, and I look forward to continuing the conversation in a minute.
Thank you, Michelle.